Cheers, buddy. Thank you very much.
How's it going, everybody? It's lovely to be back in Cork and Avail. Very much appreciate being down in Cork when I checked into the B&B earlier on. The lady was like, oh yeah, I'd love to go to a gig, but Bridge is back on. It's the first night back at the Bridge since Christmas, so I'm going to that. So it's good to kind of get grounded as soon as I've landed here, you know what I mean? Thank you very much. It was lovely to be asked to be part of this. My involvement with First Fortnight goes back about 9 years now. It was set up by two friends of mine around the kitchen table in Tala. And this year they have over 180 events in 25 counties across the island, from not just poetry, music, theatre, film, visual arts, dance, all sorts of stuff. It's quite incredible what they've achieved. And then all year round, not just did they have the festival, which was originally meant to be 2 weeks, hence the first fortnight, the first 2 weeks of January, tend to be the most difficult time of year for a lot of people. You know, you've ate too much, you've broken your New Year's resolutions, you've drank too much, you know, all that, you've dealt with family that you didn't want to deal with. So they put it on that time of year to uplift people. But they work with homeless people, they have creative arts therapists who work with homeless people all year round as well. So just in case you're wondering what the fuck is First Fortnight, they're probably one of the best festivals in the country. I don't know any other festival that has 180 events nationwide. You know, think about it, it's amazing. There's only two staff that actually do all that. Most of the festivals, loads more funding. So it's, I've basically been working with the poetry side for the past few years, curating events and emceeing and helping out where I can. The reason, I guess, I'm connected to that is because my own brain doesn't always function in the way it's maybe meant to be, potentially. So I might touch upon that with some of the poems this evening. Having said that, I don't really know what I'm going to do, so don't feel the need to be passive if you want to ask me a question or speak to me. That might take me on a bit of a different journey. I've wrote loads of things that I can say down there, but it's maybe a bit more interesting for me, potentially for you, if there's a bit of a dynamic exchange, so don't feel afraid to say it to me. Okay? or I'll just wrap up. What am I at now? I'm at 32 minutes past, so I'm trying to stay in time. I'll start with a poem that it links where I'm from, Dublin, but it also links Kerry, so two of your major rivals there, I guess, from Cork. But it links me to this very spot as well, because the very first time I said this poem off page was here, and I don't really get nervous too often speaking to people anymore, but I do tend to get a bit nervous when I say a poem new for the first time or a poem off page for the first time. And that day I was down the back chatting to a friend of mine, Paul Curran, a poet from Dublin who I miss terribly, and he gave me the encouragement to say that poem off page for the very first time. And as some of you may know, or those who don't, Paul took his own life last year. So I saw him the last time, it was about a year ago here, and I had a lovely chat with him outside. I was at his funeral then in, I think it was February, if I'm not mistaken. And so it's funny how this poem is, there's certain lines that seem to change for me a little bit, even though I didn't write it, I wrote it before it happened. But anyway, I'll say the poem, so because of this. And I wrote it in the First Fortnight office, as it happens. So I ended up going to get some fish and chips, and the place where I go to get my fish and chips in the Liberties in Dublin was jam-packed. So I was getting pissed off. So I was wandering around Francis Street, and I saw two girls, Libby and Ruth, and I didn't want to speak to them because sometimes I don't want to speak to people. And Ruth jumped in the air and kicked her heels, and she had a big smile on her face and thought, there's something wrong with me, I don't welcome this joy into my life. And I said, where are you going? So they were going to a house party with Cormac Begley on the concertina playing and Steve Cooney on guitar. And as soon as I walked into the party, I kind of knew that I was in a poem, and I had to write about it. So I wrote this in the First Fortnight office right after that party ended. Anyway. I was strolling the streets of the Coombe, Dublin celestial room, with a hunger in me belly, and me legs were gone jelly, I was in search of a bite. When by chance on Francis Street, Livy and her little sister Ruth, they did meet. What brings you round here? I say, ah, did you not hear? They say, come, gather round and listen, there's a rambling session beginning. Kerry's descended upon Dublin in Tony McMahon's den. When we're open to chance, we'll know the way, when we know the way, we'll dance.
so I ambled onwards. Towards this rambling session, passing markets for horses and hops, and oh, there's the heroine Eldan Devlin mural by Mazer, having strolled these streets herself in bygone days. I wonder what verse Vincent Caprani would have penned for the oncoming gaiety, then just off at Grey Street my comrades had to meet. But this was a party of pipers, poets, paupers, and worker party politicians. This wasn't the Illiskillen Road, but was it July evening? This wasn't Billy Brennan's barn, but the bicycles were aligning. Leaning up against stone walls where geraniums were hanging near the side of the doorway, where I sat on the wooden floor at home for this castaway. When we're up in the chance, we'll know the way, when we know the way, we'll dance. Steve says, what'll we start with? Not me and other Steve, admit them, we're off and on. Jigs, reels, puppets, tunes, no song. I open my eyes and ears wide, you sense the pride. There's gas laughs and by golly hysteria. Gas lamps from bygone eras, cobwebs catching the light. I spy a spider, slowly, silky, descending into an air built in its own might. There's dusty bookshelves and Parisian paintings taking us away. Writing death, stepladders, ironing boards, and not a word, just tunes heard. You know, an old ear is attuned to an ancient pitch. 432, a tone your grandparents inverted you. Every key further unlocks this open house. The pendulum on the clock's even stopped, but it's right twice a day. This is the pure job. No lips go parched, and some are even puffing up, for the mistletoe still hanging in the kitchen. Buddha gazes on, spreading good karma, bulbs blown, don't dim, thanks cha. Or the chinwag with Dita from Kabbalah. Beside the fireplace there's an aloe vera plant, and I can't even begin to thank the world for this blessing. There's a ringing in our ears, and bare feet are tapping while rain lightly taps along in time with the window pane. No hurt here for now, no pain for now. I abstain from the overwhelming offers of sandwiches, but with a china teacup, I toast to Tommy Potts, a fiddler, and fireman happily over the fireplace, and I swig a soup for those not here for the bloss. The fairy music has flown, and I'm all office with the living, and we're alive. As the spirits arise to share this space, the white lady is in the window, the blue-haired woman is in the corner, the gale speaks. The Changas, Chops, the Chocogas, and Mock. A mock. Outside of me, a tear rolls down my face, a sweat pours down Cormac's concertina. He plays within himself, honouring us in this outer realm, a raven. But I'm out beautiful airs of basket boatmen, we are taken there. We are no longer here. In this room, in Dublin's liberties, we're at prayer. At church, just around the corner from Vicar Street, ascending all the concrete, attuned to a new frequency, and frequently we are out of our hearts, of ourselves. We are liberated, we vibrated to each other for each movement, the ripple, and I'm in no fixed state. When I say I mean we. We can't stop now, take it all in, let everything go, we'll never be able, won't end here, here now without you. We are on an air, a spider, slowly, silkly, descending into an air, casting on invisible waves. Come here, you're told. Bring a bottle on your ears to the affair. Come get there early, or you'd be lucky to get a chair. Come gather round and listen. There's a rambling session beginning. Kerry's descended upon Dublin and Tony McMahon's den. When we're open to change, we'll know the way. When we know the way, we won't feel strange. When we're open to chance, we'll know the way. When we know the way, we'll dance.
Thanks. I might read, read a poem. Excuse me, it's on my phone. But seeing as I kind of brought Dublin and Kerry into it, I should probably bring this back to Cork now so I don't alienate you too much. And I wrote this one, I was lucky to do a nice gig last year now, in Clonakilty underneath a canvas tent. A friend of mine was touring with the Footsparn Theatre Company, and they did four gigs around Ireland, and I was looking to do a couple of them, and I was in Clonakilty. I was in Kerry for the other one, as it happens in Dingle, but I did the Clonakilty one. And I wrote this for my mother, and actually it's funny, I've had to move back home on the 16th of December. Just some circumstances in my life changed quite quickly, unexpectedly, and it's meant that I've had to move back home, and nobody wants their 36-year-old adult son moving back home, and no adult son really wants to move back home to their mothers, you know. So it's as much as I love her and she loves me, it's not easy. So it's not, and maybe I'm reading this now to remind myself of this time. I don't even know if it's a poem, but I like it, and so that's good enough sometimes. It is good enough for me right now to share it anyway. And basically, when I was doing the gig, My friend who had invited me up, I said, as always, it's lovely to share the stage with you. And I sort of said it like a bit flippantly, and then I realised, no, actually, I have to check myself and realise the privilege and the gratitude that I have when you're invited to share what you do, and particularly with this person that I hold in very high regard. So I set myself a challenge to write something called As Always. Anyway, it goes with this. As always, just an offering. While in Clonakilty, I spot those Portuguese custard tarts she told me she loves, the ones I can't pronounce. Not one to go far, as her clipped wings keep her sea-bound, she voyaged to Portugal a few years back. I remember how she lived, tasting the sweetness as she told me. Driving back to Dublin, I called her late that eve to see if she's still in. I've got those custard tarts you like, the ones you told me about from Portugal. Yes, the pastis de nata, that's them. I bought the last three in the shop and ate one myself. I asked the lady in the shop how long they last, about 2 days I was told, so there was a deadline in place. I also bought a small jar of gooseberry jam for her. They were delivered later that eve. I don't know what else to do. It's only a small offering, barely a handful of goods, but all the tenderness I can give. A thank you, as always. So that's that one. Anyway. I guess it's funny, sometimes poems take me a while to construct them, and then other times they just sort of nearly vomit out of you, and that one just sort of came to me back as I was driving up the N7 back home, and I think I even pulled over to write it, to the best of my recollection. Any questions, or how is everyone doing? Are you okay?
What's your favourite colour?
My favourite colour? Don't really think of it, that too often. Say blue.
Scottish blue.
You'll enjoy the Scottish poet if you come around the 12th, actually. He's great poets. Kevin Peebleday, he's brilliant, it's very funny guy. If you ever get a chance to see him in Crane Lane. Did you
get your fish and chips in the end?
I didn't. I ended up going to a restaurant called Riddler's. In the little break, as soon as I walked into the party, I realised it was going to be amazing, and I decided I wasn't going to go back to the office to do the admin. And I went and I got a nice feed there, and then when I went back to the party, there was so much food on offer, I shouldn't have fucking gone there. But it was my first time in that restaurant, there's writers all over the walls, so maybe that kind of gave me a bit of inspiration when I was going back there. What else would I do?
A very deep personal questions, aren't they?
Yeah. Colours and food. Important things in life. I'll read this one. So I was very lucky to do a lot of work in Leash last year, working in... Actually, I'll read that one by young fella first. Yeah. So I was an artist in residence in the Dunamase Arts Centre, and through that I worked in 6 schools, youth theatre, youth reach, and I worked in the Midlands Prison as well, which is great. I really enjoyed working with the prisoners. And it was funny, they were like, you give them homework and my dog ate it, and it was, that sort of stuff, but they were trying to get me to smuggle in, pay three and whatever as well. Hardly wanted to do it, but I didn't. One of the schools that I was down there, I met a young boy, and I give the kids loads of different prompts to write about, and then I also say, just ignore me and write what you want, and if I can facilitate that, or if you want a bit of space, whatever, that's also totally fine. So one young boy had a saying that he wanted to put in the poem. It's only a short poem, and I'll do an awful 1950s, 60s teachery thing there that Stan was giving out a bit earlier on. I'll say the poem and I'll give you a little more nugget of information, and it's probably the best poem you hear all night, but your hearts are about to explode. Sean, a beautiful boy, wrote this one, and there's a sort of a conserve thing going on here, because I mentioned gooseberry jam there and I mentioned marmalade now. Anyway, marmalade setting rarely does work. Worry and torment it does on earth. 2 to 1 for the fruit and sugar, 10 minutes to set for the sticky butter. All this time the worry does build, and while this happens the marmalade's chilled. The worry keels over and finally gets free, and the marmalade ends up as mushy as pea. There's an old saying based on worry. If you worry you'll die. If you don't worry you'll die. So why worry at all? Very apt for first fortnight teen might as well. And like the saying, that the boy wanted in the poem was something that his mother had told him during the week, and that was something his father used to say, and his father passed away. And I just thought it was incredible to have a 15-year-old boy trying to tell his mother everything was all right, using his father's words from beyond the grave. And you know, I had a wonderful time working in those schools and the different community places that I was knocking around in. But that poem in itself, for me, was worth my time going down there to Laois. And so I had a kind of a strange thing that happened then last year. I was asked to talk to the Taoiseach and the Arts Minister and a couple of people about some of that community work that I was doing, and I was asked to read a poem for them on that day. So I'll read it, but I actually read in that poem by Sean, because while I was asked to write something for it, which I'll do now, I felt that poem was way more fitting for the reasons why it's important to have artists working in communities, any sort of art form, to encourage people to create and express themselves. Because I know for a fact that if I didn't find poetry in my life, obviously I wouldn't be standing here now, the poetry I'm reading here, but I probably wouldn't be standing here, you know, that's the reality. So I wrote this one called We Must Create. It's mostly kind of iambic pentameter, 10 syllables a line, until I just got a bit lazy. So whatever, if you want to appreciate for that or not. Anyway, because of this. We must create to know who we can be. I say this for you, I say this for me. We must create to know who we can be. Early beginnings, heartbeat, warmth in you. First breath, eyes open, a new point of view. Hands touch, ears hear, clocks tick, and I am who. We must create to know who we can be. Screaming out from within, with the voice here, a note floating on there, lulling the fear. Melody all around this atmosphere. We must create to know who we can be. Hearing truth and onomatopoeia, boom boom bell, zoom zap, while playing with grandpa, while cookie cooking bacon for grandma. We must create to know who we can be. From scrawling with crayons to Lego bricks, from knitting needles, soft textile fabrics, to air guitar and now Jimi Hendrix. We must create to know who we can be. There are creative accountants, CVs, Tinder profiles, where you look the bee's knees, but best not to force it, it comes with ease. We must create to know who we can be. We heard a song sung, it helped ease the pain. We didn't feel so lonesome as we sang the refrain. We forgot that feeling until we heard it again. We must create to know who we can be. From nursery rhymes to white-collar crimes, what have you to say in uncertain times? Have you the chance to change the paradigms? And then I look for Acker in the eye and I kick him in the shins, you know, and I'm saying that. Anyway, we must create to know who we can be. Do you remember the time you heard an opening allegro, or when that beat dropped and how it made your head go? Some things make no sense unless you're in flow. We must create to know who we can be. You may rise and fall, or fall then rise. An arc of a story contains no surprise, but how you tell it therein the art lies. We must create to know who we can be. If you do it for the money, you'll be called a fraud. If you think you're great company, you might be God. Delusions of grandeur aren't that odd. We must create to know who we can be. There's all sorts of forms, disciplines, levels to challenge yourself in the intervals, where you'll find rivals and reasons for approvals. We must create to know who we can be. If it saved you from yourself, and now there's no other way, it doesn't matter how it moved you. Welcome to the ballet, you've just found the peak of Parnassus. Fair play, we must create to know who we can be. I say this for you, I say this for me. We must create to know who we can be. Any other questions? Quite a quiet bunch. Mm-hmm. You used to arouse your audience, but that's lovely.
You're sizing me up.
In what sense?
What's the best approach?
What's the best approach?
Watch your back, yeah.
I didn't really talk, I just did the bit and I fucked off out of there. Funny enough, that I did meet him once before, and I wouldn't vote for him, it wouldn't be my politics. But I found him, the first time I did meet him, and I've only met him twice, was in the Axis in Ballymun. I was working out there with a group of young men, working like early school leavers and stuff like that. And he was going out to see the place without any fanfare, and I kind of have to, you know, he spent an awful lot, it was a million and something on fucking PR spin, 26 times he meant an end to Kenny spent and all that, which I don't agree with, but In fairness, he was out there trying to help out in that sense. So, don't want to vote for him, but like, you've got to give credit where it's due, you know. I wouldn't really want to be seeing too much. Anyway, I'll say a poem called Imran. So I'll bring it back to Kerry. And I was lucky to be down there in Kilreelig, just past Cathairsabhain in the peninsula, with old Dingle, 2015 I think it was actually, and it was actually quite a bad year for me. I've had two pretty down times in my life, 2007-2015, and I wrote this poem down there then, and yeah, I probably had quite dark thoughts again, sort of leaking into first form. Like two people that particularly helped me in that time, aside from poetry and trying to create, were Alan Watts and David White. Alan Watts is an English philosopher. It's quite amusing if you get to listen to him online. Sometimes on YouTube people get these stupid fucking synth tunes and hippy dippy, you know, stuff, don't fuck all that. Just listen to his proper lectures. Don't take a 5 minute beer, because there's way more to it. And David White, who has a great book called Consolations, and like, you'll have a word like robust and you think, oh, I know what that word means, and then you read his little meditation on it and you go, whoa. And I bought about 20 or 30 copies of that book in that year. And in fact, I left my last copy, my own personal copy, in the Midlands prison, because I felt the lads in there needed it more than me. But they helped me through that dark time. Imram is an Irish word, or Imram, or Imram, for voyage, and so I was out near the coast. And another sort of poetry connected me to a fellow called, some of you might know, Danny Sheehy, or some of you might have seen the voyage, the Camino Voyage film. I was asked to be on that boat, as it happens, and Danny, the boat capsized off the coast of Portugal, and Danny, an Irish language poet, didn't make it. And the first time I met him was in Belfast, probably 2016 I think it was, and when he heard this poem he asked if he could translate it to Irish, and it was a huge honour for me to have him do that. So it's in my book, and you don't have to buy it because I've only got one with me, and if you buy it in the bookshops, if you buy it, sorry? Yeah, well, you can't buy it. Really? I don't know who it is. She's sizing me up. If you buy from a bookshop, that'll be lovely, but I don't get anything from it there. I literally get zero. Literally zero. So, buy it or not, I don't. Get it from the library. But anyway, it was nice to get a book finally out into the world, and this poem is in the book. I don't seem to know. Oh, I mentioned the Fibonacci sequence in it. In case you don't know what that is, I decided to get it tattooed on myself. So I'm officially a hipster, and one of the schools I went into working as well, I had one of the kids said to me before he saw this, the Celtic Triskel, and his response when he saw that was, "Hey, mister, why did you get the a fidget spinner tattooed on you?" Little bastard.
You don't get any more hip than that, Stephen James.
A little fella in a tie. It was funny because I was pretty down when, and I got that for kind of my personal reasons, and now every time I see it, it just brings a smile to my face. Fair play to him. Oh my god. Anyway, right now for the depressing poem.
What's the title of your book?
Fear Not. Not yet. Some people ask, is that linked into Shane Matheny's last words, don't be afraid, or in Latin, how is it going Latin? Anyway, he was in Latin.
Temperis.
That's it, yeah, if you give me. But it's not. I wish I was that intellectual now. It's more of a calling to me, than harking back to Heaney, who's knocking on over there as well. I see him. He's all around us. But anyway, this is for Danny. I got to meet his wife Moira recently, which is what we did see her again. And I said this to him at his wake, so he did, as he was embalmed in his coffin in his house. A man goes to the coast of an island to be alone. He has gone as far as he can for now, it's called retreat. A great distance is not always far enough, and the mind is as restless as the ocean you're sleeping beside. This man is seeking solitude, and in so doing has brought the loneliness into his own heart. Sure, he knew this would be the way of it, but he still put one foot in front of the other. You have to face it sometimes, learn. The barren landscape is seen worse. He reminds himself of the continued struggle and erosion that is life. He thinks that's a cliched metaphor. A famine village is deserving of more. He looks out at the ocean all too often. The primal Parthian wanted to rage in the deep blue. Yesterday was Valentine's Day. And around the table he was told of a tragic love story of a man who, after he buried his love, climbed to the top of Bolus' head and threw himself to the depths. After this story, the man made the same trek. It would be so easy to climb the rock walls and pass by the sheep in the fields and dive, never submitting, but knowing it's a fight never to be won, once submerged. There's something honest in that, though, he thinks, is there? Never submitting. Those rocks are patient hunters. How much violence are they caused by simple stillness? Then birdsong calls through the air. Like so many times it's called away from a dark edge, like so many times it's the simple things in his life that save him. Fond memories. Curiosity. He could have sworn he saw the Fibonacci sequence in a spiderweb earlier. This reminded him. Instead he'll walk on into the wind which numbed his face yesterday while a warm heart pounds on beneath all the layers. You can go so far and it's never enough. You can learn to be still and it'll come to you. You can think of moving maps, battling nature or arranging words in some fashion aiming for legacy. This is redundant. You know this. Leave your ego at that pagan peninsula. Echoes of trauma, just that forever silence, you are here. The man notices the bruise and his knee is fading, the salted air is already heating. Later heated eggs and night of fire. Later good things will come to pass. He remembers this right now as he sits still, warming his feet, ready to wander. I think I'll just do two more and maybe, well, a few little haiku and then two more. That's okay with you lot. Unless there's any questions or comments which might, which case I might go in a slightly different direction. So I started writing haiku most mornings just to be creative every day, not with any ambition of having them in a book or to say that they're any use or whatever, just more to sort of like get into some sort of creative flow. So I'll just, yeah, do a few of these. There is a mountain who, with a mighty view, which is why we try to hike who? Because I've got loads of money on my poet, I decided to spend all that money on an iPhone. My ex-iPhone knows my face, location, secrets, techno, love, matrix. I wrote this one when I was in Cork. I was at the It Takes a Village Festival, which is great crack. And I was having a bit of a flirt with somebody. It's good to flirt and feel alive and all that sort of stuff. But I had the flirt and then I ran away. I'd like to kiss her, but then I thought about you, all you mean to me. I was single, but I had this idea of somebody that I like, and thankfully, I brought that person here. Actually not so long ago when I was down here. Anytime I'm not around Cork, I try and stay an extra day or go down a day early. I'm a regular enough attendee here, probably here about, well, four times a year or something like that. I wrote this one for Danny Sheehy, who the last poem the Imran was for as well. Boats afloat off coasts, smile for fire, water toasts, Danny drinks oceans. He had a toast for his Ishka Bahas, his fire water, Asquelga. When he was down it, so that was, yeah, for him. I didn't like school, this might be for Stan. I didn't like school, nobody knew who I was, and neither did I. I wrote that one day, I was in the school in Leash, and I got on really well with all these guys in Mount Mellick, everybody, and one day there was a lady there, and she was an almighty bitch to me. And I was just walking, why are you being like this? Like, I'm genuinely here to try and help and not to be an asshole. And so what's the story you want? And Mrs. Sounds, yeah, she's a bitch. They all knew the crack there. This is for all the poets. I toast gone off bread, 2 days past the best thing since it has come to this. Anyway, so I think I started at about 25 today. What have I got? We got one more?
I'd say one more.
One more, grand. Do you want to hear one?
Yeah. I was terrified I'm going to be. Just terrified I'm going to be sexy.
Do you want to hear one about my mum or one about where I'm from? Well, do you know what? Just come with the 12th to Crane Lane and you'll hear. I'll do the one for my mother. Feels more apt given the theme of tonight and mental health, so that seems like the right thing to do. I'll probably do my poem about Dublin. Yeah, come along hopefully on the 12th. It'll be a great night. And check out the other events as part of the festival as well, please. So, yeah, it's weird going back to my mum's house after over 10 years of being away. It's not going to be a long term thing. But I recognise certain things in her that maybe I don't particularly like that I realise are also in me. And 10 years of distance have been a good thing in some ways to maybe make me not as reactive as I once was. And I've learnt a lot, still have a lot to learn. And I'm very grateful I'm back there, but it's not easy. So yeah, it's going to be strange saying this poem with all that other stuff going on. It's called The Gardener. She turned to me and said, "Do you think I'm happy?" And I heard a question that I didn't want to hear. I knew the answer. I listened to the cry, but the face had made me uneasy, but I felt the bravery, I felt the realness in the moment. So we answered, you see, she's a gardener who has great plans, but works with what she's got. She loves creation. Sees beauty and wants to share it with you. Understands the cruelty of nature and yet it fills him with wonder. Have you tried her rhubarb fresh from Granny's garden? You should. Maybe there are pretty roses, but you'd rather be a cooking apple, or better yet, a gooseberry. Her hands are warm, the flesh loosened by age. She held my hand in church today for the first time in too long. Her eyes are still young, still life to be lived. This Joe Bangles is not condemned when there is breath left. Still seeking that happiness. God love her. People before profit, she says. A modern day Guevara or Connolly as a nation lets her down, working 34 years in a job, draining away her very essence for what? Feed me. Educate me. Clothe me. Not stopping there. I remember she took me to Prendergast near Budden's when we couldn't afford to go to Budden's. Caravanning and round with the takeaway Chinese, the Isle of Man, the cinema, jazz after church every Sunday as we did today, 28 years on, taught me to notice the sunset, her bondage, a sick child and a broken marriage, all this, and I don't know how to speak to her. I always want to hug her and I don't know how. So a veiled kiss lace of courtesy will do. She's been learning how to stop living inside her own head. Gets up, goes out, half the bottle. No panic attacks for a while, still manic but calmer now, still pretending, still xenophobic, homophobic, not meaning to be. Lost marbles down gutters of dreams. The anger, it's fresher though. Built up over years of false dawns and mistrust, reduced expectations, frustrations, one's contentment, and quiet. Yes, quiet. Peace. Or perhaps bird's song. In her garden, where she will grow apples, pears, spuds, raspberries, strawberries, and gooseberries, watch them bloom again and return to the soil, but not before she has lived a life deserving. My mother told me today, she pretends to be happy. What do you say to that? Let's watch her flower now, I say, and bring her some water. And to all the Ovale team for putting it together. Please check out some of the first fortnight events. There's a programme, probably have some programmes back there. There's things going on around the country, so obviously, you know, people are in the country yourself, so please tell people to go along and support it. So, and keep on creating yourselves, as you're obviously all doing. You know, I do it to keep my head in check somewhat. If you want to find me, StephenJamesSmith.com is my website, usual social media ops here, and buy my book. Because it won't profit me at all. No. Anyway, good night. Thanks very much. Cheers.